This podcast is brought to you by Cameron Parker and Carlin Parker. Some material is for a mature audience. Sit back and enjoy.
I'm like, what figure do they need to get up to be reasonable?
You know, if they was making a quarter mil a year, the number one pick should at least get a M.
At least
$1 million at least.
Yeah. And we are here back on the couch, the Parker's couch, that is. What's up, brothers?
Hey, what brothers. Up? Happy belated Siblings Day to my brohams.
What is Siblings Day?
That was last week, I believe.
Why do they have all these random days?
I don't know. And if you knew that was a Siblings Day, how come you didn't say anything?
Because I just found out this week. It was like last week. So I was super late.
Okay.
Well, who cares about that? But hello, brothers.
Hello, hello.
You see, it is the middle child always gets the slack.
The debonair.
Nobody cares about me.
Keep talking over him, brother. Keep talking over the oldest, please, because he's trying to say his little classic line that no one cares.
Nobody cares.
You know you love me.
Oh gosh.
Whatever. Well, you get your taxes done. Eldest?
Yeah.
Okay. I got an email today that mine were not accepted from my state.
That sounds about right.
I was waiting to the last minute. So after we do this, I go check on that and see what's going on. Making sure they about to carry me on somewhere. You know they like to put the clank clanks on people.
It'll Listen,
be all right. We just had this conversation before we started.
You're not a self-employed person. You know, you're a W-2 employee. So they know your taxes are more than likely taken out. But if you're self-employed, they'd be coming for that.
They're coming for you.
Well, that's what I want to be one day. That's what I got to get. I got to be self-employed. Yeah. Well, I got to make my money work for me some kind of way. Maybe I don't have to be self-employed. I don't know. I just don't want to work no more. Not in the same way. I don't want to work in my life.
Why do you want to be a loser?
He wants passive income, brother.
That's winning.
He wants passive income, and he wants a soft life.
Yeah.
We have enough losers out here. Yeah, if you have passive income, but it takes money to make money.
If you hear me, amen.
Well, no, I let me take it back. It's not that I don't want to work. I love work, but I just want to do stuff I like. That's it. I'm done with doing stuff I don't like anymore. I don't want to do
that. You don't want to work for the man no more.
I'm tired of that life. That's my, you know, I'm on the millennial side. I'm younger, you know, the more charming
barely
of the brothers here. And you know, we have a little softer side of life to us.
Oh gosh.
They say they're wiser but weaker. I say, but no, not wiser.
But anyway, also happy Emancipation Day, brothers!
Happy Emancipation Day in the state of the DC.
That's right. And we went to the Emancipation Day concert over the weekend, as you know, brother. And you had something shady to say in the text thread whenever we said Kelly Price was going to be there. But, you know, for what it's worth, Kelly Price did her thing.
She was okay.
Even though DC was standing there all quiet.
Yeah. We're like, oh.
I mean, was she warmed up? Was she warmed up, brother?
She got the pipes warm. See, I'm going to give her some slack because she said her allergies were messing up, which I can relate to. Allergy season has been terrible here in DC. But yeah, she sounded great towards the end.
But who didn't sound great was Ginuwine.
Ooh, of course.
Oh, never,
could never, so that I'm not surprised.
I wish you could have saw
No Talent Junkie.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. We can't end this, y'all.
You said a word right there.
I swear, you were at the concert then. If that's clearly on something.
I was like, them nostrils are
flared. Those nostrils were flared up. They were ruby red, and he was all over the place.
You know what kind of lifestyle that he came from, and you know that he was never really talented vocally. What it was he could dance, and you know the ladies loved the way he looked and all that kind of stuff.
Southeast DC, baby.
He used to be a exotic dancer and all that stuff.
And them days are gone.
I mean, he is what he is. No talent junkie.
Oh, and he was clearly lip sync. What was so bad? He was clearly lip syncing on like half.
Oh yeah,
of the songs, and it was just so. I'm like, we're here live. We hear the song still going, and you're not even saying anything. Your mouth is not even in a mic, and then whenever it's in a mic, you're obviously it's nothing coming out from you.
No.
Right now.
I'm gonna tell you another brother that's vocally challenged on live has some hits out there though, you know, but it's Music Soul Child.
Oh yeah,
I've heard this about Music.
I've seen him live.
I've heard that.
When I saw Kelly perform live, he was like the headliner. It was Kelly and Music, and I saw it. She was in Charlotte. Now Kelly, at that point, I mean, she blew the roof off. She sang her pipes was on point.
Yeah, she was outdoors, so you know, outdoors is a little bit different than singing in a venue. So
yeah, in a venue you have acoustic.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
You had the right mics and everything like.
And the microphones clearly were not good because she kept tapping the mics. Like are the mics on? And I guess they weren't on good enough for Kelly.
Yeah. Because she couldn't use her own mic.
Yes.
Like she brought her own mic when she performed in Charlotte.
Okay.
So, I mean, she really blew it up. The Music came out there. Oh.
Was it that bad? Oh my gosh. It was that bad, huh?
It was bad. It was like, you know, the sound that people make when they put their fingernails on the chalkboard.
Oh no. Come on, Music.
Yeah. He was terrible.
That's the worst. I hate going to a concert like that and somebody is just such a letdown, especially when there's so many classic songs.
Yeah.
And I was thoroughly just disappointed. I said, You are no longer on any of my playlists.
You took all playlists and everything.
Oh yeah,
I mean, blame you.
I only mess with real artists.
Oh god,
you know if you ain't
he go this real artist thing again. Yeah.
You don't have any talent. You gotta go.
We are in agreement, but we may not be in agreement with who all fits that category. And we ain't gonna go back there.
I mean, your girl, she's all right.
All right, we got it all right. We got it all right. I'll take that from you.
And she's all right, but she just ain't. I don't put her up on that pedestal that everybody else does.
Yeah, you always and we always going left when people are going right. You've always been that guy.
Got to be Mr. Opposite.
He's the opposite.
Hey, then fuck out. You got to make them follow you.
That's right.
Oh God, it's true. This is true.
I told you he's a Leo. Right. He may be a Virgo, but he's really a Leo.
Shut your pie hole over there, Carl.
Well, you know who is leading the pack right now?
Who?
Miss Caitlin Clark. Who knows?
Your favorite player.
Huh?
Miss Caitlin Clark. We had the WNBA draft. It was no surprise who was going to be number one for the Indiana Fever. Now, let me...
Talking about SGA or somebody. Well, here we go. Okay. Let's go.
Yes, brother. Let's
go with
it's one thing on the court And it's another thing like off the court. And the whys, the hows, the whys, we can not even argue. We agree. I think as brothers, we agree on a lot of what's going on. But one thing I cannot argue at all is the impact that this girl is having. This woman is now having like on the sport. Like I've just never seen anything like this.
Horrible. She is. You're right. You hit it on the head there, Cameron. She is a trendsetter.
She is a trendsetter. Absolutely. Like the way the WNBA draft was. It
was done in secrecy for years. We're like, oh, they had the draft. There's a draft pick. Okay.
And this is the first time I sat there and watched the draft.
Yeah.
I watched the first round. And I'm like, is this the first time it was aired? I feel like sometimes it used to be.
No.
Now, I don't know if I'm making this up, but I felt like at one point it was just like aired on ESPN or something. And like in the. Maybe it wasn't
I don't
in
think
the
it
studio,
was ever aired. I just always got the like the alerts or
they will only show like the top like few little picks or something, and there'd be something quick or something. I remember something like that images, but I don't know. I don't remember
maybe
any
the first season
production,
like when they had the first season, maybe. But other than that,
you guys are that garnered.
What do you say, brother?
Look at the ratings that she garners. Everywhere she goes.
No.
So, hey, these people are piggybacking on that money train.
Absolutely.
They riding this money train. And if she's smart, she would get in the, she would say, I need a piece of the WNBA.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, what Caleb was talking about doing, about here, how he need a piece of whatever franchise he goes to, drop them from. This is what she needs. Yes.
She needs a piece of the whole thing, not just the franchise.
Yeah, she needs the whole thing.
Yeah.
She needs a piece of the league because, and it's not, I mean, it's not a slight on anyone else. There are probably more talented people out there, but there's no one bringing the star power that she's bringing.
Oh, no.
No.
Now, she's not going to have to go overseas. She's going to have enough endorsements that she's going to make it through the whole year.
Oh, yeah. She ain't going over. She ain't going over. She could play for the big three and make five.
That part.
You've done already said that.
Right. Now, do you think, of course, I never thought she would do that. We're going to, because she's a baller and she wants to be in, like the women's competitive kind of hype. But do you think that's an option she should have chose?
No. I think
she chose the right option.
She chose the right option, but I like Q's moxie, trying to put a toehold in there and get that star power.
Q said, y'all ain't got no money, any up.
She's off of that, but the WNBA, though, man, they going to need to pay her some money.
It's funny that you're talking about that now, because what's been hilarious today is that everybody now is a fan, since they're new fans to the sport, I should say. So everybody's shocked at the rookie contracts that are going on. And so all over social media and everywhere today has been like all the first round players' contracts and what they're going to make. And what do you say?
They don't get no money.
No. So Caitlin Clark, she's going to earn $76,535 in her rookie season this summer. And just about all the women there in that first round over the first 4 years, the total of the contract comes out to about $330,000 that they would make in the span of 4 years. But it's like little increments, it increases each year as it goes through the 4 years, with the highest being in 2027. At $97,582 for Caitlin Clark being the first draft pick. That's why some people were like, maybe she should have took that $5 million deal. I'm like, no. She's going to be fine.
She's going to make a ton in endorsements because she, in college, she was making 3.7 or something like that on NIL deals.
Yeah. And that don't stop. So, like, she's still going to be connected with stuff.
She's still right. going to make that cheddar. But think about that. She made more money in college than she's going to make in the WNBA.
No. And that's wild.
And that's going to be for a lot of these girls.
Andrew Reese, all of them.
It's for all of them.
All of them taking a pick cut.
They taking a major round, cut.
Yeah.
They taking a major cut.
What would be, because we know there are much fewer games. The season is shorter.
Yeah.
I'm like, what figure do they need to get up to be reasonable? Because right now, this isn't reasonable.
I mean, you know, if they was making a quarter mil a year, you know, the number one pick should at least get an M.
$1 million at least.
At least the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least an M. You know, they should get that at least. But, you know, the league itself is almost defunct. I mean, it was struggling financially for a while.
Yeah.
But it's picked up some, you know, it's picked up some steam here lately. I think the Candace's franchise,
the Aces,
they're the only team that sold out.
The Liberty does good too, in Brooklyn.
Yeah, yeah, they're the only team that sold out. So
that's interesting. Okay,
I think once there are more butts in the seats, there are more eyes on the TV screen, these salaries will go up.
I mean,
the WNBA is going to have to get some kind of deal, like, you know, television deal like the NBA. Not as much, but, you know, something that's going to be competitive to all these other leagues. Everybody's getting paid. I mean, college football has massive deals. The NBA has massive deals. They have to get a piece of the pie. The money's out there, just have to get a piece of the pie.
She's going to bring that. She's going to bring that. When Paige and Juju come out.
Oh, and a couple of classes behind them, too. It's like nothing but superstars coming.
That's true.
She's going to be the nemesis, right? So they're going to have to start telling the story like Magic and Bird.
Oh, yeah. And I think they're already forecasting the 2026 draft is going to be like one of the best drafts ever. So it's just going to keep getting better and better and better.
I think so. Yeah, I think y'all are exactly right. And then with her going to the Fever, they are all but four of their games are nationally televised.
Yeah.
This season. That is wild. And we were looking up
tickets last night.
They come to Washington. Yeah. Yes. And what did you see, brother?
I put in a ticket for one and it said, these seats are limited. I'm sorry.
What?
One is too many to ask for this time. They're pretty much sold out. Yeah.
That,
already.
That tells you what she's going to. I mean, she's box office.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, I can imagine what the ticket price is going to be.
When she plays against Angel Reese, they're going to
And Cardoso's on that team, too.
Yeah.
They got Angel and Cardoso with Chicago.
So they're going to make that. And it's Indiana versus Chicago.
Yeah.
It's going to be a rivalry.
You know what? That's a job I need to look for. Oh, man. It's probably too. The WNBA is about to be on the rise.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You could get in like some promotional efforts that they, yeah, like running their even social media.
Let's do it.
And doing stuff.
It's going to be money in it.
There's about to be some money going on over there.
Well, brother, we have this event coming up in May. Let's get our pitch together.
Oh, I know. Oh, yeah, brother. For the eldest here, there's a local podcaster event going on. And, you know, we're going to attend for all the local podcasters in D.C. and do some snoozing. We're going to get fed and pin. What is it? Pin circle there. Forget the name of the
station
area.
Ooh, macho. Do it, brothers. Do it.
Get our pitch together. Maybe we're going to become the new WNBA podcast.
Maybe the boys. Like ours.
Okay.
That impact is going to surely grow, and there's going to be plenty to talk about Caitlyn going down the road. She was on SNL leading up to this.
Yeah.
People were mad, though, because they were like,
The comments were not kind. They were upset.
A lot of what? But that's like, look, you see, losers getting all the attention because then all the Iowa's whole team was there and stuff on SNL. It was like, can't even have the championship team there.
Yeah. Well, we already know what that is.
Oh, yeah.
We already know what that is.
We ain't even going to beat that dead horse. We know what that is. Jeez. About mad again.
All right. Yeah, I know. And we have plenty down the road for them, but let's go to the NBA real quick because we haven't talked NBA that much. We understand our feelings towards the NBA,
boom.
But we're here now. We're here now in the playoffs. The playoffs are starting tonight with the play-in games. We got the West going first, where we have the Lakers going against the Pelicans, and we have the Warriors against the Kings.
Can I just say, I'm tired of Lakers being on my screen every time the NBA's on. Can we get somebody every else, time. Please? I'm sick of it.
The Lakers and the Warriors are always
sick of it.
Who y'all got tonight? Who you taking?
If the Lakers are smart, they will lose this game.
Thank you. I'm with you on that. Because the loser of this game, you know, you'll have to play the next game. But the winner of this 7-8 game, they have the wonderful privilege of playing Denver in the first round.
Thank you.
Or you could play Oklahoma City. I think I would choose OKC.
Either way, you're going to lose.
Anyway, that's it. Brother, you played at a high level. Anyway, that goes through your mind, like, are you thinking about scenarios like that? Would you think on that level, or are you just out there playing to win?
You playing to win, but you also looking down the line too. You know?
Matchups matter in the NBA,
I forgot who was it. One of the commentators said the Lakers should have lost to the Pelicans.
Yeah,
to avoid Denver.
Yeah.
I mean,
they should have. They really should have. I mean, you were going to be in a playing game, but you put yourself in a chance of having to win one versus having to win two. I get it. And then losing, you're putting yourself in a sudden death situation.
It ain't going to matter. They're going to be out the first round.
Either way, they're going home. So It doesn't really matter.
You got to think about it. LeBron and poor Steph, they're aging superstars.
And aging?
This right now, they can't compete.
No.
No. Mm-mm. What are people holding on to with this Warriors team, too? I'm just confused. Am I not seeing what other people am I seeing something wrong? Because I'm like, they're done. Like, they're no more to me. That Warriors, that's over.
That's nostalgia. That's all. Like you said, that Warriors team is no more. And then, you know, they're even having a little bit of info.
Oh, they are
now too.
Yeah.
You know, Clay don't want to be there.
Nope.
No, Clay
not get that money.
He mean mugging Steph the whole time while he out there. Won't even dap him up sometimes. Especially after the trade deadline. He was salty.
Yes.
After the trade
deadline. Yes.
I know y'all probably have seen some of those clips where he Steph was trying to like dap him up and he turned and walked the other way.
Cause Steph is a darling and Clay is the trash, basically. They're like off with his head. You and Draymond are expendable, but Steph has got to stay.
Well, Draymond kind of like they got
more expendable than Draymond
too.
Clay is more expendable than Draymond.
Yeah, exactly.
Steph goes to bat for Draymond, but he put Clay out there on the chopping block. He said, yes, get him on out of here if you could get LeBron.
And Klay tried to dance around his comments kind of around Draymond, like when they asked, you know, with Draymond always doing what he does, getting kicked out of games and all that foolishness. Yeah,
that's Draymond.
You know, he's like, well, he was praising all the battles and stuff that they've been through, but he was talking about how this puts them in tough situations, you know? Yeah. He did his thing. He's never going to go, like, in what he's feeling. Like, he's a professional, like, on that level and stuff. But you can read in between the lines of the things he says and the, like you saying, the body language, all these things, they're done.
You know, he would – Klay is hurt, too, because that cat, he gave his
blood, all. Sweat, and tears. He played on a freaking Achilles tear.
Yeah, man. Yeah. This guy gave his blood, sweat, and tears, and they basically just urinated over him. they did him rotten, man.
Yeah,
but I do want to kind of attempt to answer your question why people think the Warriors, you know, have a chance, because on any given night, the Warriors can hit 25 three-pointers.
But that's a good point. Like the way that three ball
so
has completely changed the game and what can happen.
So they think if they can get hot for a series, then they can get hot for two series and so forth. Because, you know, they did, you know, win a championship just a couple years ago where nobody expected them to win. So I think that's what it is. People want to give them the benefit of the doubt because they are four-time champions. But reality is going to set in. Reality is going to set in quickly.
Yeah. Nice soliloquy, Carline. I like
you not buying it?
I liked all what you said there, Carline. But they old. They
come
are
on, Chuck.
Old, and it is time for them to go out the pasture.
Now, I didn't say I believe this.
But yeah,
I'm not a true believer. That's not me.
This is where you're not a true believer, huh? You're like, nope. I'm off of this train.
it is time for them to go.
Yeah.
Same thing with LeBron. He's got to go too.
LeBron needs to back it up. I love you, LeBron. Back it on up, sir.
I mean, shoot, he looks great, but
he's too expensive. Mm-hmm.
One, yeah, he's too expensive, and this NBA is not built for him.
No,
he's all dominant. He's the ball sticks too much with him.
Yes, I agree. I definitely agree. And it's one of those people fall into. I feel like this happens a lot in life in profession, in any kind of profession. I think about like with television and all these different things, people hold on to stuff too long.
Yeah,
sometimes.
They do.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, we've held on a long time.
Nobody knows when to exit, really.
Yeah. He's got to.
You got to.
And the Lakers, they should have cut bait with him.
Actually. They should have.
But
Jeannie, she loves superstars, though. She's going to give the superstars every inch, every dollar she can. Oh, she learned from her father.
What has he really? He got a paper championship.
The Mickey Mouse championship.
I know. It is definitely a paper. They need an asterisk. Yeah,
it's the Mickey Mouse championship, but it still count. It's going to tell you those count. So he's got to count, too.
I guess if you want to count it.
But you know the Lakers missed out on so much money though, because you know they didn't have any home games, so he really didn't bring a whole lot of money in terms of, you know, that championship to them.
No,
that's true. No. Well, the other matchups there, I'm curious who y'all got between the Clippers and the Mavs and the Timberwolves and the Suns.
Well, the Wolves. I love Anthony Edwards.
Me too.
I love him too. He's
a freak. The truth.
He is a straight dog. Yes. And Minnesota's, I mean, they're playing excellent ball.
They're just not very smart.
Well, they're smart enough to beat the Suns.
The Suns have been disappointing.
I don't like the way they play. Very disappointing. I don't like the way they play at all. I don't.
They play very well for three quarters.
Yeah.
And
for fourth quarter, they all shit the bed.
They're the worst fourth quarter team in the league, I believe.
The whole season, they've been the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's wild. And to have Beal, Durant, and Booker, but then they all really, play together a lot. Yeah. And everybody's,
it's a mismatch.
I don't know.
It doesn't look good.
It
doesn't look good. And I say Minnesota in six.
I kind of think Minnesota. I'm leaning towards Minnesota
in five.
Wow.
Okay, five.
I think Minnesota's just a much better, much deeper team. Much more.
But the experience factor, you think they're going to.
Minnesota's been in the playoffs the last couple of years.
Yeah, but I think KD can give you two by itself.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
I think KD can give you two by himself. Now, he and Booker.
Booker, if Booker goes off, no. That changes the game.
He can give you two.
Booker's going to go off. It's the playoffs.
Yeah. That's
ain't going to be no if.
I'm saying like 50 points go off.
This is. But.
I think the Wolves, and I think the Mavs might win this one with the Clippers.
Ooh, that's going to be a battle.
No, it's going to be a battle. That's going to be a good series. We were talking about this. We were having a debate because I was like, it's going to be a good series. And my brother, Carlin, was like, pretty much said it's going to be blowouts. And then I was like, you might be right. They might be alternating
blowouts, I believe, for a while. And then maybe a good game seven.
But. I was thinking it's going to be a close series.
Paul George is playing outstanding right now. Yes.
But so is Kyrie. You know, Kyrie's balling. He's behind
him. He still got the room. Yeah. He can turn it on at any point.
If the Clippers do go out or whatever, or do they need to just blow? What do they do with this experiment they've had for so long now?
They need to cut
back. Last year, right?
It's got to be.
They got to cut bait with everything.
Yeah.
I mean, they've had all the pieces that you want.
Yeah. Like they've had it all.
They have a squad.
Oh, they're deep. Yeah.
But
it's got to be done.
Yeah, they got to
go. But I definitely see this is probably going seven.
I can see that one seven easy with me. Yeah. That could be seven easy. I still have Denver coming out, though. That's my pick to come out of the West.
Yeah, I don't see.
I
don't see anything with them.
Yeah, the other teams are too young right now. They're not ready.
Yeah, they're just not ready. And I mean, the older teams don't have enough to compete with them because, like we were saying, other teams are deep. Denver is absolutely deep.
They're the Pacific Ocean. They are deep. I think the only team in the West that probably could nip them is probably the Clippers. If they matched up, I think the Clippers could give them a run.
Maybe.
Yeah, they have enough star power.
They got enough, to match their stars.
They have enough star power. The factor is Jokic, man.
They can't do nobody.
Gonna have to play out of his mind.
That ain't happening.
He can't guard. They just can't guard that Joker, man.
Hey, I will let Jokic get his. I don't want him to get everybody else to get theirs. Jokic, I want you to score 40 or 50 points.
But I can see that philosophy.
That's the problem. Murray gonna get his too.
That's the two-headed monster.
They tough. Murray is more important than Jokic on that team.
That's true.
Because they couldn't get nowhere until Murray came back.
That's true.
That's right.
Well, what about the other side? I guess we have the play-in games going on tomorrow it'd be the Bulls against the Hawks. I don't care about
go to bed.
Who's on the Heat? Who's in the Heat?
Then the Heat against the Sixers.
Who is in the East? Nobody cares about the East.
The Celtics is the only squad they care about. Are the Knicks? So,
like
the
that's my question. With the
Knickerbockers.
The Knicks got up there, got a number two Brunson. Seed. They got a number two seed.
They get a two seed, and they get it off a six-foot guard.
That is wild.
What the East is all about.
Yeah.
The Cavs against the Magic and the Bucks against the Pacers. And then you got the
Celtics. The Cavs and Magic would be a competitive series. That'll be a good series.
Magic is a good up and coming.
They're fun. We went at that's one of the games we went to. We saw them play the Wizards.
He's a good up and coming star.
Yes. They got a good young team. I know Giannis the first round probably.
I don't know why the Bucks hired.
What? Oh gosh. So what happens after this? After the Bucks go out, probably this first round.
Everybody's gone.
He shouldn't have gotten this job, and Griffin should have never been fired.
That was terrible.
That
was horrible.
I can't believe they treated him like that. Giannis
needs. I'm disappointed in Giannis too.
Yes, totally.
I'm disappointed in the way he treated that man, and the utter disrespect that he gave that guy.
They danced the night after he got fired. They was dancing, so they hated that guy.
You can't do that just because Bud got fired, man.
Yeah, right.
You know, it wasn't his fault.
It's not. That's about to say. It's not his fault. He's not making those decisions.
That was Bud's fault for making some terrible decisions in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's Bud's fault for not thinking with his brain up there.
Yeah,
yeah. And he had so much personal stuff going on. Like it was. Yeah.
It was just a sloppy ending for him.
Oh yeah, then his brother would die or something, right? Yeah, that was terrible. It was bad.
Yeah.
But I'm with y'all. The East is kind of it's giving me
it's stinky the Celtics. If the Celtics don't make the finals,
if the Celtics if they don't come out of this East,
throw up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum.
They're gonna have to because you can't pay them both $500 million.
No,
if they don't come out, you're gonna have to blow that whole thing up. But now, they have the best shot beating
Denver.
Denver?
Yeah, they got the best shot of beating Denver. They should have played them last year in the finals.
I think so, too.
They have the absolute best shot at beating Denver. One, they have a trio that's pretty much unstoppable with Jason Tatum. And Porzingis,
and the way Porzingis has changed up his game and stuff since he's gotten there, and played like to fit in with them, they legit.
Yeah, Porzingis, Jaylen Brown, and Jason Tatum.
Oh, when they're on, they're lethal.
That's a lethal squad, brother.
But the thing that scares me, they take too many three pointers. And they will let you back into a game so easily and quickly.
Don't they take a bunch of them?
Gosh, they take so many of them. They'll pass up a layup for a three-pointer in a heartbeat.
It is sickening how many three-pointers that they take. But they're deep. That's a deep squad, man. You know, they still have, they have the Derek White.
Yeah.
Who's really just
he's a pivotal guy.
He's really come on strong. They love Peyton Pritchard. I'm not so much enamored with him as they are, but they love him.
Yeah.
He's a little feisty guy.
He fit the Boston, personality and persona. So I get it, but I'm with you. He's not my favorite.
Yeah. And
they got some shooters on the bench too.
Yeah. And I love Jrue.
Drew is such an underrated player. He's so important.
He's dynamic on defense, and he can score.
He's a scorer. Yeah,
he can.
His shot has gotten so much better year after year after year.
He can run a team.
It's dependable.
And that's what's going to help kind of slow down Murray.
Yeah.
Is Drew.
That would be a matchup to see if we get that finals.
Drew and Derek White, because Derek White is a lockdown. He's a lockdown defender.
Absolutely.
Too. So, you know, they'll wear down
Jamal. Yeah.
In that.
Yeah.
And I think Porzingis will supply Jokic. You know, he'll give him some problems.
That length will bother him. Yeah, definitely. Because he is long, man. He is very long.
Yeah, and on the offensive end, he's so mobile.
They take him outside. Yeah, Jokic won't be able to defend him on that perimeter.
Yeah, he can shoot that three.
Yeah.
He can take dribble. So that would be – I can easily see, you know, the Celtics actually winning the championship.
I would favor Boston in that matchup. I would definitely favor Boston in that matchup.
But it's not Jaylen Brown I'm afraid of. It's Jason Tatum.
He's come up short. You talk like to mess it up or like afraid of like to go against?
But not showing up.
He's come up short. I'm sorry. He's come up short too many times. This is the pivotal playoff for him.
Regular season, son. That's not gonna cut it for me. Come up as small as he's come up.
Yeah. In
pivotal games.
There's no way they should have lost to the Warriors. That's a championship they missed out on.
They missed out on that. And then to lose to the Heat.
Now that was
one for to the Heat. That was bad.
Game 7 on your home floor. Bad.
You let a one man wrecking crew take you out.
Right.
Yep. Nope. Yeah.
Jimmy tried to take everybody out. Man, Jimmy.
You're right.
He literally did until he ran up against Denver.
It was 1-10.
Yeah, he had a little shot there.
You can't win that way.
All right, well, let's see who comes out of there. It'd be plenty of NBA going on. But let's move to the world of college to end off, brothers. A couple of interesting topics. And I know in our group chat, Carlin, you had put in about the situation at Duke with the scholarships being taken away there. We want to get into some of that. We also been talking about the transfer portal in recent episodes that we've had, and it's getting a little bit insane. And I know there are thoughts around the transfer portal as well with this. And I think that there is a connection with some of this that you know, it may connect in some way, or it could be just two separate stories in its own, but they're both interesting and stuff to us. I kind of want to like jump in this, the transfer portal, real quick. And then figure out what, like, y'all take of what's going on, because it just seems like every day I just see a million names going through.
At one point I said transfer portal, actually, you know, it's pretty good and it's bringing, you know, a little bit of, I guess, parity to the game. You know, I was kind of saying that at one point. But now I'm gonna have to backtrack on that.
I feel you. I'm starting to rethink.
I'm gonna have to backtrack on it. Right now I know we talked about it before. These guys are now they loading up on teams and
in super teams.
We're gonna have an NBA super team.
Yeah. And is all right, so it's a lot of different angles from this for me too. I want to talk about the sports angle first and some thoughts I have, because it's like a sports and an academic angle, and the academic angle might move us into some other things. But like, just from a sports angle and just my opinion, whenever I see it, like just on the surface, I'm like, what happened to earning your spot, earning your way, like learning, being in a system, developing and getting there? Now I feel like it's like, oh, I didn't start. Oh, I didn't get enough minutes here. You know, if you're like a freshman, a sophomore, whatever, people are just like moving along just where I guess they could get on the court. I guess one hand, I see you want to be out there. But there are a lot of great players. I don't understand. Like, you, when you play D1 athletics, you're just going up against tough competition. And the cookie crumbles wherever it falls is where it falls sometimes. I'd rather be like in a solid program where I know I can kind of work my way there, or I can earn my spot, and I'm going to be somewhere, develop and know and be able to, you know, to be an impact in that program rather than picking up and running.
Brother, you hit the nail on the head. You know, kids today, though, they're mentally weak. They can't take that challenge.
That's true.
They really can't. They'll take a header off a building before they take that challenge, man. It's kind of sad that we've gotten that far with the mentality of young kids today. Instead of, like you said, bearing down, digging your heels in and working hard and earning your way, they'd rather just pout and go to their corner. And, you know, as mom and daddy, I tell mom and daddy, I need to go.
And sometimes it's mom and daddy that's the problem.
And mom and daddy is the worst.
Yes.
And in most cases right now. And I hate it, man. I hate to say it. And, you know, of course, I had a son that, mm-hmm. that played, and I don't like transfers. I never liked the idea of transferring and not, you know, really sticking it out. Now, mm-hmm. if there is sometimes there's just an absolute need.
Yeah,
it's necessary. Yeah.
There's an absolute, you know, if you're in just a toxic situation, and it's a for real toxic situation, not one that's made up.
And sometimes you might find out a system is just not, it doesn't work for you.
And if it's not the right fit for you, you got to go. But what's happening with these kids now, they think everybody's supposed to get NIL money.
That's what it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
And and that ain't how that works either. And not every school has NIL money.
Right.
And they ain't gonna just give you NIL money because you think you guys give.
Ain't that's that interesting. True? I didn't think about that.
That's why you have a lot of these kids, man. A lot of these kids, especially some of these kids that are transferring from smaller schools, and they're getting, man, you have kids transferring from D2 schools getting high major D1 offers. Yeah.
And especially if you like player of the year of that conference, you're out of there.
Oh, yeah.
You're gone.
And like, I'm going to get that money.
Yeah, I'm out of here.
I'm going to get that bag. That boy from Alabama, and he could play, that's though. Fine. 6'10" cap.
Yeah, I was about to say the white boy, Nelson,
Nelson. You know he played.
Yeah, he did
off brand.
Yeah, he did.
I do remember them saying that.
Like that.
It was from Utah or somewhere, right?
He played for South Dakota.
Yeah, it was somewhere like that. Utah, South Dakota, somewhere.
Off brand, offshoot, and he come out there, got that NIL money.
And see,
going to be a lottery pick.
That's what I thought the transfer portal was going to be. Like, I'm all for that, for somebody at a small school getting an opportunity at a big school. My issue is that you have major players from major universities transferring away from that university to another program. Like, to me, that's what they kind of lose.
When I see they kind of lose and stuff that being there, I'm like, huh?
I'm like, why are you transferring?
Yeah. Man. The Wagner kid, he left Kentucky. Yeah. I mean, you had a blue blood, freshman at a blue blood, balls in your hand.
And you want to transfer?
What
was weird?
I don't get it.
What more?
What you say, bro? I'm sorry. I ain't hear you.
What more do you want? A star?
Right. Like, what more do you want? And I was reading this one article. CBS Sports had an article a few days ago on the transfer portal, and it was tackling it for more from that academic end. And so I just want to read a piece of it where it says, experts are predicting a flood of players entering the portal Tuesday, which is supposed to be today, for reasons that could range from being upset at playing time to hating the color of the wallpaper in their dorm room. They can change schools on a whim without Roblox for the first time is totally up to them. And it says, as the enterprise moves away from the educational component of college athletics, the question must be asked, what thread of academics tied to athletics will be left? Are players moving closer to majoring in football? We're not necessarily talking about a degree program, although who knows, maybe that's in the cards, but eroding academic integrity in this transfer climate. And so that made me start thinking, it's like, what? Because, you know, that used to always been preached, like, you're student first, student athletic. And like, you're trying to like drill that in. Like, are people just not even going to pretend about this this academic proponent anymore?
Listen, when coaches started calling this a job, that's when they lost the academia for me. Like, you're like, oh, this is your job. Oh, well, on a job, you get paid. Okay. So I think the whole approach has really eroded the academic part, even from the top of university to the head coaches, in my opinion.
Well, all I got to ask you is, what are the majors of most of these guys?
Sports management.
When you go, how did you know that, Parlon?
Lucky guess.
How do you think all these guys are making being academically eligible?
Yeah, and then whatever. There's a funny business, Carolina. We get out of it.
Hello.
They won't go down. The schools will not go down.
Blame it on the women's team.
And a lot of credits don't transfer.
That part.
That's one of the issues too, that they're like, yeah. Cause then you're supposed to have a certain amount of credits, a certain amount of percentage completed, like to be an athlete and all these things. And what's going on?
And so then guys have to go to school, and you know, that transfer thing is, you know, some guys get out there in that portal and they think it's sweet, and then they understand it's too late at that point that, hey, I can't even transfer.
But you know what's,
because I don't credit.
You know what's funny to me, though? Like, in football, you know, kids can transfer to Michigan and Stanford and Notre Dame, but not so much in basketball. Have y'all noticed that?
That is interesting.
So why is it that in football it's easier for the kids to transfer into them as opposed to basketball?
Well, more money in football, for one. And the other thing, most of your football players, they redshirt them that first year, and they all about academics their first year.
Good point.
That's true.
So they can transfer a lot easier than a basketball player.
Yeah, basketball seems like it's really hard for Michigan and these kids. Like, Michigan's gonna really struggle, I think. And
oh yeah,
Notre Dame and Stanford, those schools are gonna struggle in the basketball for a while.
Yeah, they're not gonna. You know, kids kids ain't going to qualify nope. academically to go to those schools. Nope.
We saw that happen.
And then,
yeah,
they ain't going to be able to stay in school either.
No.
You know, shoot, it's tough to play at those schools, man.
Yeah, very tough.
It is. And that, you know, the NCAA, they promised not to retaliate, you know, against athletes who transfer multiple times. So we know, like, they could just keep doing it. And they had a stat. They said there were 2,611 football players. That's roughly 23% of FBS scholarship players in the transfer portal during the fall semester. And they said expect numbers like that.
I'll wait till the spring. They just had the spring game, yes. And now it's already started. Yeah, that number's going to triple.
That's ridiculous.
That is crazy. A quarter? It's already in the fall. Yeah. Like you said, brother, we ain't even just wait till the spring.
Yep, they just had the spring games. Now people are already transferred.
As a football coach, I can see why Saban said he hated.
Yeah, I gotta pour back some of my smoke on Saban right now.
Yeah. As a football coach, it's just dreadful.
You know, basketball is tough if you're in a certain environment. You know, like you say, if you're in a institution that is of higher academic standards, you're gonna struggle. Yeah. Unless you're Ivy, you know, or something like that. But your Michigans, your and Stanfords and stuff like we were talking about, they're going to struggle, man.
Oh, yeah.
And even in your lower tier teams, you know, with higher academic standards, they're going to struggle on the low to mid majors that are private institutions that hold on to those high academic standards, they're going to struggle too.
Yeah, I feel bad for Notre Dame because they're never going to be able to get a top flight quarterback. They're just going to have to keep getting written out a quarterback every year from like a senior transfer, like from Duke or from Pitt or something like that, or from NC State. Like, you know, they're never going to have that blue chip quarterback. And that's how you win. You got to have the quarterback.
Yeah.
So they're playing like with one hand tied behind their back, basically.
I wonder what football is going to look like 5 years from now, what basketball is going to look like 5 years from now.
Oh, it's going to be the Wild Wild West if they don't change it. Like, I don't see it having conferences very long. Like,
yeah,
I think the big, like the SEC and the Big Ten are going to be the major players. They're going to make up all the rules and everybody's going to have to follow whatever they say. Because they're going to have all the money and all the power and all the teams.
That's going. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be tough, Carl.
Yeah.
Think about that, man.
Because think about the Big Ten is going to, they have the East Coast. They have the Midwest. Now they have the West Coast. Yeah. Now they have the Mountain time zone. So they have every time zone
they have every, yeah. Good grief.
That's ridiculous. That's so ridiculous. All right. Now, the transfer portal isn't the only thing going on. And we end on talking about like the scholarship situation with schools, which Carlin, you brought up in our group chat there. And I just want to read like a piece from this Essence article that's talking about Duke University ending its scholarship geared towards Black folks. But it says, following the end of affirmative action, Duke University would discontinue its Reggie Howard Memorial Scholarship Program, a program for top Black applicants. The Reggie Howard Scholarship Program was founded in 1979 to honor the memory of Duke University's first Black student government president. To qualify, applicants had to demonstrate financial need, and the scholarship was awarded to 15 to 20 Black undergraduate students who received full tuition, room and board. In addition, these students were also provided with funding for independent research opportunities, as well as domestic and international learning experiences. They had a junior at the school comment on this, who is like part of it and everything. And she says, it is very much disheartening to hear that this program that opened the door for me to come to Duke is now being closed, essentially, even though it would take on a new form. And so it is taking on a new form and a new program. They say it's going to be a result of combined efforts from the Office of the University of Scholars and Fellows. They're totally changing up opportunities here. And Duke isn't the only one who has done this since affirmative action. So they're not the first university to do this. And in 2023, when affirmative action was done away with, Andrew Bailey, the Republican Attorney General of Missouri, said that institutions in Missouri must implement the Supreme Court's decision immediately. All Missouri programs that make admitting decisions by disfavoring individuals based on race, not just college admissions, but also scholarships, employment, law reviews, etc., must immediately adopt race-blind standards. In addition to Missouri, public institutions in Texas, Illinois, and Alabama, as well as the private Boston University, also appear to have responded to the court's ruling by eliminating at least some scholarships meant to benefit racial minorities. And the last thing I comment too before we talk about this, it says that they bring up this one situation where it even went outside of race last September because of this political climate and stuff we're in and this whole idea with DEI and all this stuff. There was a Title IX complaint filed against Duke's. This happened on Duke's campus as well. Duke's Alice M. Baldwin Scholars Program, which alleged that all female program engages in reverse discrimination. So it's kind of like what we was talking about. You know, we're at the center. They attack us, but what people don't realize, they coming for you too.
But you know what's so ironic? You mentioned the University of Missouri, and you know, that's how we got Brown versus Education. Mm-hmm. When Lloyd Gaines, a black student, they refused admission to the University Law School of Missouri. And that gave the argument for Brown versus Education. And now they want to circle back to their racist past. And that, in our lifetime, I just can't believe that this stuff is happening. That we're reverting back to stuff from the 1930s and 1920s. It's so disheartening.
You know they want to remove that stuff from your history books anyway.
Oh yeah. So you wouldn't even know that information.
So you don't even know about it.
Exactly.
Even happening. But you know, this decision by Duke is really disheartening. You know, it was named after that black student. He died in an automobile accident in his sophomore year.
Oh no, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that piece.
Oh yeah. Man. Oh, how
so?
Ooh, how dreadful.
So just let ponder on that just for a moment.
They're disgusting.
I thought something would, if you're given a scholarship and something that, like, don't you get to make your own parameters? Like, I'm just.
You just think about that. And then they want to switch it up now and say the new program would be, you know, open to all undergraduate students.
Yes.
Right.
We know what that means, all.
We absolutely know what that means.
And will not include a competitive selection process.
Yes, that's a piece of it. Like, I couldn't believe that was actually written. Will not include a competitive admission process. Like, how are you selecting? Like, I don't know. Like, what is the selection criteria for who is going to be chosen?
It sounds discretionary. And you know what that means. So,
I mean, before the finalists had to have a commitment, academic achievement, leadership, and community service, as well as social justice. I mean, this is a well-rounded individual.
Yeah.
That was a scholar.
It's framed very nice. Like, you're not just, and it's given to top applicants. Top.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, but we know what the thought is that everything is just handed out to people. all of a sudden. No, you have to perform well.
From the people that were handed everything.
That part. It's just blowing me. And having a kid going through this process now and applying the scholarships and doing all that stuff, I just be like, y'all better not start taking away some money in the future while this kid is in college, because
we'll burn the school down.
This stuff ain't cheap. Okay. And whatever has been earned and what's given, that's that better stay. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a travesty, man. Because one, all it does is broadens the wealth gap.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
You guys know that. That wealth gap is created, one by education, the other by like home ownership.
Yeah, yeah,
yep.
And that GI Bill did wonders to go ahead and
oh, it helped.
We tremendously discriminate. We've been discriminated and against in both instances.
Yeah.
Yes.
Redlining, gentrification, you know, and then of course academic end, you know. We have always received inferior education.
Yeah.
And then when you do land a job, they're going to pay you a quarter less than what they pay the next person, at least. Right.
Exactly.
On top of that.
You can have more education than the next man and still make less
money. Exactly.
That is very true. But you just made me think, it's just so amazing, like, just our plight as people in this country, how everything has always been against us.
Everything.
And then it's like the moment, you know, and it hasn't even been a long time for stuff to kind of like work in our favor a little bit, a tiny bit. And it's just even still a little, you can't even say completely work in our favor, because anytime we try to get something specific for us, we have to branch it out to more people. And everything, even though we are at the center, but
so they tell us
now you want to take that away.
How do you do that? They tell us pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, but then you take the bootstraps,
right?
But then it's never a full right. It's an executive order, something that has to be voted on time and time again, and hopefully it's passed. It's like the voters' rights. It's like, yeah, we'll vote on it again and see if we'll let you have voters' rights again.
Yeah. How does that make sense, brother? I don't understand that. Why are certain things just not cemented into law as like what it is?
Yeah. That makes no sense.
No, this all, and it's another reason to hate Duke. But lowing all these other schools, this is, it's just crazy to me, like how this is literally happening before our eyes right now. And I feel like each week there's a story, there's something happening.
Now, Donald Trump is still leading in the polls, which I don't understand. And people are still our cousins and them still trying to act like Donald Trump is the best thing since sliced bread.
Right.
And his remains out here Donald destroying Trump. Everything.
The orange man, the cheetah.
Your cousins.
You know, your skin folk. I don't claim them, but you know, y'all be claiming everybody.
Oh man.
Not that group, but yeah, that. Because their arguments too, what's so crazy is that they buy into the same stuff.
They do. Like, they be going against white masters.
They'd be going just as hard against affirmative action and DEI stuff than they do. Like, it's just so ridiculous.
So how in the world Martin Luther King Jr. say way back when he was going through the struggle, it's all right to tell a man to lift himself up by his own bootstraps, but it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man he ought to lift himself up by his own.
Hello, my favorite right that he said.
Mm-hmm. Say it again for the people in the back of the room. I don't think they heard you.
So
they want to keep you bootless and then take you
bootless right now.
Yeah.
Stockless.
Where are the young people understanding this history? And, you know, the people like us that do understand it, and we're not fighting like we should be.
Yeah. I feel you.
I feel you.
Mm-hmm. It is kicking a boat of, it's like, wow, like this is, it's becoming like a real reality. Like BLM, right, was a big movement, and it helped get me involved politically and things like that. And I feel like we're at that verge, or we're in it right now, where it's like another uprising that needs to happen, in a sense.
It needs to be more grassroots.
But it has to be right.
It needs to be in the trenches. And, you know, it really needs to touch home. Like, I know other movements kind of went nationally. It kind of moved away from.
That's what happens, yeah.
That, you know, that fervor and fever that you get when you have a grass.
Yeah. Something about that organic flavor right there on the ground, just like,
yeah.
Doing.
That's why, yeah. I don't know if y'all guys are listening to the Native Land podcast, but that's why I love listening to that podcast, because it gives you like a lot of inspiration about, you know, grassroots efforts that people are actually doing out here in the community that you didn't know about. So, yeah, if you guys are listening to the podcast, you definitely want to check that out.
No, that would be a good one. Hey, we might invite some of them on to the Parker's Couch.
I would love that. Come on, Angela. Come on, Angela Ryan. We already met Joy Reid. Come on, Angela.
Caroline.
Yeah.
Caroline, we're giving too much love to somebody else. This is the Parker's Couch.
Yes, sir. I was waiting for one of you to make the comment.
We giving plugs to, hey, we don't get no plugs over here on the Parker's Couch.
Hey, we all family. I want them to mention us. Mention our podcast on this show. Get us some more viewership.
We making our own way, Caroline.
Yeah.
Like they say, we got to pull our own self up by our own.
Yes, sir.
It's the Parker way. That's what we do. And we ain't the scheming type. I'm going to leave it at that.
Oh, Lord. We about to shut the podcast off.
That might be when it's time to exit. I don't even have my drinks in me yet.
I know.
Hey.
I haven't tossed up yet.
Working the day. Shot five.
Well, brothers, it's been another fun episode. Until next week, y'all got any final words? Silence.
We love you for listening.
Thank you. All right.
I have nothing, Cameron and Carlin, but, you know, as always, I ended with I love y'all.
Aww. We love you too. All right, Tater Tots. Later.
This has been a Rosie B production. You can follow The Parker's Couch on YouTube and TikTok at The Parker's Couch. You can follow Cameron on Instagram, CDParker03, and Carlin Parker, Carlin 1978. And on Facebook, under Cameron Parker and Carlin Parker.